went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those 3 times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in Newburgh. And I'm here with you each week to share some information I feel is important for your health and the health of your family and friends. And when you have questions, I'll ask you to go to thealternativehealthcarenetwork.com and consult with any of the providers listed on the site. Each one of the providers offers you a unique opportunity to support you when your health matters. So if we do not answer your questions fully while on the show, please consider contacting any one of us directly for the answers that you seek. My direct phone number is area code 845-561-BACK or 561-2225, or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com, and it certainly would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have regarding your health. Now, we want to start this week's show by welcoming our co-host. I guess we can call you a co-host, right?
Well, sure. Why not?
Sure, we'll call you a co-host. His name is Mark Sabin, and he's sitting across the studio from me. And welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thanks, Doc Rick. It's a pleasure to be here. And, you know, every week we get to talk about subjects that are I'm so curious about, all the different perspective you have on people's health. And, of course, all of us are concerned about our health because it's one of those, you know, primary things that we have in our lives that makes life worth living. And one of the things that recently came across my attention is this notion of what sepsis is. And sepsis, it turns out, is the 9th leading cause of disease-related deaths in this country. And many people, including me, don't really know what it is. So could you please just give us an understanding of what sepsis is and how someone might contract it?
Well, sepsis is the body's overwhelming and life-threatening response to infection, which can lead to tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. And it's very difficult to predict. It's difficult to diagnose and treat. Patients who develop sepsis have an increased risk of complications and death and face higher higher healthcare costs and longer treatment. Sepsis is, by definition, a life-threatening condition that arises when your body's response to infection injures its own tissues and organs. And common signs of and symptoms include fever, increased heart rate, increased breathing rate, and confusion.
Now, I understand that most people recover from sepsis, but some survivors are left with permanent organ damage or even missing limbs due to amputation.
Yeah, that can happen if the infection gets so out of control that the tissue necroses and, you know, the tissues waste away, and then, you know, they have to, they're not going to recover, so they have to amputate or remove that part that was dealing with the sepsis.
Now, you know, I read stories about people who ended up in comas and because of sepsis, and recently the actress Patty Duke died due to sepsis. How common is this?
Well, worldwide, there's over 18 million cases per year. Because of its high mortality, sepsis is a leading cause of death. In the developing world, sepsis accounts for 60 to 70% of deaths per year, kills over 6 million newborns and children each year, and there's over 100,000 cases of maternal sepsis.
Wow. So now with all these stories about people who have had sepsis, but they've had it misdiagnosed. For instance, one story I read involved a man whose appendix burst, and he didn't even have a fever, but he fell into a coma, and by the time they finally figured out what was going on and operated, he barely made it through.
Yeah, these things can happen because, you know, it's not, there's not a little red flag that goes up that says, you have sepsis, please get that taken care of, because we don't live in that kind of automated society yet. We're moving there.
Wow. And another story was a woman who wasn't feeling well, and she ended up, you know, she was simply discovered unconscious, not breathing on the floor, and was placed on life support and was in a coma for about 3 weeks. Her family was told to expect the worst, and they still had trouble identifying what the original infection was.
Well, it can and does happen, and that's why our personal hygiene and maintaining highly functioning immune systems is vital, except medicine doesn't teach us how to do that. So I guess that's what my role is to teach people how to do that.
Well, tell us a little bit more about that role and what your role is in terms of being able to keep a strong immune system.
The primary role that I take with the practice members that come to my office is I teach them about their health. I teach them why they have the problems that they have, and I teach them how to remedy those problems. And it all stems from a healthy digestive system and eating high-quality foods and taking a high-quality probiotic. And the immune system feeds directly off of that system. So if the digestive system and your assimilation system's out of balance, then you're going to develop weak immunity. And I see it every day. And a simple test that people can do to just get a sense of what their immunity's doing is just take your basal body temperature. And if it's lower than 98.6, then your immune system isn't doing what it's supposed to do. And then the potential for these kinds of situations can develop.
You know, what is a basal temperature?
Your normal body temperature should be 98.6, but you'll find in most seniors' homes and a lot of other people walking around that their temperature is below 97. And it's like, okay, well, nobody recognizes that in the healthcare industry. And I've been, you know, telling people about this for 25 years. It's like, okay, that's a direct indication that your body's immunity isn't working the way that it should. So if a person's basal body temperature is right around 97 or so, they could have over a degree and a half fever for them, and their temperature still would register below what is considered normal.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Would the person that has that situation, would they feel cold or hot, or would they have any way of knowing that internally?
They wouldn't necessarily know. I mean, for them, they may feel like they have a fever, and the doctor will take the temperature, or the nurse practitioner will take the temperature, and they'll say, well, you don't have a temperature, so you don't have a fever, but they didn't establish what this person's normal body temperature is. And I'm seeing more and more and more that people's normal body temperature is lower than it should be because their immune system is pretty shot.
And with a compromised immune system, obviously that would leave you more susceptible to some kind of infection.
Absolutely.
And then infection is the origin of what creates sepsis. So it's not always necessarily a complication of surgery.
No, sepsis is always triggered by an infection. Sepsis occurs as a result of infections acquired both in the community and in hospitals and other healthcare facilities. The majority of cases are caused by infections we all know about, things like pneumonia, urinary tract infections, skin infections like a cellulitis, and infections in the abdominal cavity like appendicitis. And invasive medical procedures like the insertion of a catheter into a blood vessel can also introduce bacteria into the blood and trigger sepsis.
And so that bacterial infection then creates the rest of this problem. So could people get develop sepsis from, say, a simple scrape wound or a burn that wasn't properly cleaned?
Absolutely.
Wow. So another question would be, are a lot of these cases of sepsis from hospital-acquired infections?
Many in the U.S., yes, but worldwide, it's due to poor living standards and poorly developed immune systems due to the nature of those different communities around the world that aren't, you know, haven't been modernized.
And, I mean, I recall some years back, my daughter had a small, what looked like a maybe a small pimple. She was a young girl on her back. And as soon as the doctor saw that it was red and inflamed, he immediately thought that was something much more serious. And I guess there's the other thing that you hear about a lot is staph infections. And are those related to sepsis in any way?
Staph infections can be related to sepsis. Certainly, they could be one of the causes of sepsis. And it's ideally, sepsis is just an infection that's gone out of control, whether it's a fungal infection, whether it's a viral infection, or whether it is a bacterial infection.
So it could be any of those three.
It could be caused by any of those three, yes.
Okay. Well, this is a very fascinating conversation. Let's take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to ask you some more questions about sepsis because it is something that people need to be aware of.
Absolutely. But please listen to these commercials from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Doc Rick from When Your Health Matters radio show. We want pain sufferers. If you suffer with chronic pain, there is a new groundbreaking technique that can end your pain. Call 845-561-2225 and sign up for your free test. The test may change your life and end your chronic pain. Please call 845-561-2225 and schedule your free test to end your pain. That's 845-561-2225 and reclaim your joy of life. Sponsored in part by the Foundation for Wellness Professionals, a nonprofit organization.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. And today, Mark and I are discussing a very serious condition that can develop in people, a thing called sepsis.
Yeah, and now, is this always associated with organ dysfunction?
Depending on where the sepsis infection originated, and if it involves an organ, then the answer is yes, but it doesn't always have to be associated with an organ. Eventually, it will involve the whole body, since carried around through the blood and is a blood infection.
Mm-hmm. Now, what causes the body's overreaction to the initial infection?
Dysfunctional immune system, secondary to a dysfunctional digestive system that we mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. And a sepsis infection would be most common to people who already have a compromised immune system. So the very young would be susceptible, the very old, people with chronic diseases like AIDS or cancer or diabetes.
Yes, it can be, as they are already immune compromised. But so many are immune compromised and don't even know it. And that's why it's important to be proactive with your health and monitor your normal basal body temperature that we mentioned in the first half. And if your body temperature is consistently testing low, below 98.6, then you need to do something to strengthen your immunity. And I'd be happy to help you do that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many stories that I've heard about minor injuries like a scrape that we mentioned before and that unexpectedly cause these terrible consequences, including death. So is there something that gets into your system from a contamination of some sort that's different than other types of contamination?
Yes, the combination of the pathogen, the bacteria, the viruses, the yeasts, in addition to a compromised immune system is ultimately what's going to cause the problem to develop. And that's just, you know, it's one of the components of the equation.
Mm-hmm. And because sepsis can be so hard to diagnose, I mean, initially it'll look like a small, almost insignificant infection, but then it turns deadly. How come that happens?
Well, it multiplies in a couple of hours due to having good food source for it to feed the infection without the normal immune response to wall it off and keep it from spreading. And so if that happens with a person, they may help you in the hospital to get rid of the sepsis itself. But now you really start your recovery process because now you actually have to build your immunity so that these kinds of things don't happen again.
Is that something that would normally take place if you have been through a situation like that?
I can't speak specifically for what the traditional allopathic doctors would do. They would put you on antibiotics. You know, it may be a really strong type of antibiotic. It may be done in the hospital. It may be done on an outpatient basis. And typically what I've experienced is when the infection has passed, then they just let the person go back into their life. And now the real work happens, which is strengthening the immunity and healing the negative effects associated with the antibiotics and really really building a person's health back up.
I think people don't often appreciate how much damage antibiotics do to the rest of your bodies and the systems in your body, especially your digestive system. That's something that you talk about quite often about with probiotics and good digestive health. But it actually is, I think, something like 70% of your immune system is in your gut.
Yeah.
So now, should a doctor just check a person who comes in with an infection for some sort of organ dysfunction to find out if there's signs of sepsis?
Well, we don't think of that as the first when evaluating a patient. Unless they're having specific signs, it will probably be treated with an antibiotic and the person will be sent home. In terms of what I look for in the body is completely different. We're looking at how the organs are functioning, where the person has some level of dysfunction. We have figured out, well, why does the person have the dysfunction and what does it take to restore balance to that dysfunction? And one of the things that we can do is we can check to see if it's some sort of pathogen that's affecting that person's system.
Mm-hmm. Now, the CDC, the Disease Control Center, has an acronym based on the spelling of sepsis, S-E-P-S-I-S. And the first thing that they look for is, are you shivering and feverish? Or are you feeling cold? That seems to be one of those first signs that you would look for.
Yeah, for sepsis, the first is the S, which is the shivering or the feverish or feeling cold. And yeah, that's the first S in sepsis when you're spelling out sepsis.
Mm-hmm. And then the second letter is E, which they associate with extreme pain. Now, would that be extreme pain on a local level, or would you have generally pain everywhere?
Typically, it's going to be where the infection is initially. It could become painful all over, but yeah, it's going to be extreme pain. So the E in extreme pain is for the second letter in sepsis, S-E.
I think that was one of the reasons that the doctors in my daughter's case were so concerned, because the little red infected area was very, very, very painful.
Right.
Now, what about the third letter, which is S, and it talks about your skin, and they ask, is your skin pale or discolored?
Well, the third letter is actually P.
Oh, sorry.
And that would
I
be
jumped
for,
one there.
That would
for,
be for pale. So if the skin is pale, then that's the P in sepsis, and yeah, that would be something that they would want to look at.
Mm-hmm. Then we have the S, which is, are you sleepy? Are you having difficult waking up? Are you confused? Mental issues.
Yeah, and that's the second S for sepsis, S-E-P-S. And, and again, it has to do with sleeping. Yes.
Okay. And then they use the I to say, I feel like I'm going to die. I feel like I just feel so terrible. Is that something that would, are you pretty far down the field with that, if that's the way you're feeling?
Yeah, you can be pretty far down as far as the process goes, but it just depends upon how your nervous system functions. There are people who are hypersensitive who might feel like they're going to die and not have sepsis. And then there are those who have, you know, you really have to have a huge problem in order for the nervous system to register it. Mm-hmm. And those people, when they get to the point where they feel like they're going to die, it could be close to the end stage of that particular process.
Wow. So, I mean, you mentioned before that the sepsis can develop very quickly.
Yes, it can.
So then the next S is short of breath.
Yeah, the last S altogether is for shortness of breath. And so altogether, the S-E-P-S-I-S spells sepsis. And unless you are completely mindful of these unique series of symptoms, most will never think of this first. And that's why it's often missed, and especially in underdeveloped countries, because they, you know, that's not the first way of thinking when it comes to this kind of problem.
It seems to be not the first way of thinking about this sort of problem here in the West as well. I mean,
correct.
So many people get misdiagnosed, or, you know, people just don't even pay attention to it.
Correct.
Is there something in your practice that you would be able to observe this sooner than, say, because I know that you deal with issues of imbalances that are addressed before they become symptomatic. Is there something in your practice that you would be able to have a sense that somebody has sepsis earlier than, say, a medical doctor?
Well, it's not necessarily earlier than a medical doctor. It's just it may be a little bit more efficient, because we're dealing with body reflex points that are very specific to the body and are neurologically controlled. And if there's a weakness in the reflex itself, it alters neurological functioning, which causes a reflex to be positive. And that's with a 2% loss, not the standard 60% loss that you need in the medical world. And so the medical doctors who deal with these kinds of things are probably the most qualified in the world to deal with it, and they should be respected for that. But at the same time, unfortunately, there has to be full-blown dis-ease in order for a lot of this stuff to be recognized. And, and it just happens to be the nature of our healthcare system right now.
So in your practice, you would be able to identify an infection through the muscle testing?
Yeah, there's a couple reflexes for bacterial and viral imbalances or yeast imbalances, and I check those every single time a new patient comes in. We are checking those reflexes, and then if a patient who's a current practice member comes in and they have some sort of vague new type of symptom, we check those things again. And I just always try to reassure people, okay, it's not viral, it's not bacterial, it's not a yeast imbalance. Okay, this is a different kind of animal that we're dealing with here. And a lot of times they're appreciative of the fact that, good, we took the major things off the table. Now we can focus on the functional things that you deal with.
Fascinating. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about sepsis and what people should do to take better care of their health.
Absolutely. But please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You're listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Are you being prepared for a life-altering medical procedure? Are you facing a lifetime of daily medication? There are other options. Get an alternative healthcare second opinion. Too often people don't seek alternatives until after surgery permanently changes them, or until after medications trigger worrisome side effects. You may end up with countless concerns likely to last a lifetime. Don't delay getting an alternative healthcare second opinion. If you know your options, you might make a different, informed decision. Remember, you can still have the options for surgery or medication. Take the time to meet before having life-altering surgery or taking symptom-masking medications. Learn what you can do for your health naturally. And if you've already had a procedure or are taking daily medication, come find out what natural support you can do to restore your health. If you'd like an alternative healthcare second opinion, call 845-561-2225. Your current and future health depend on you. Call 845-561-VACK before committing your life to surgery or medication. Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, serving all your healthcare needs naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, and I'm here with you each week to share some information I feel is important for your health. And today, Mark and I are talking about a thing called sepsis and all the ins and outs of that.
Well, you know, it's kind of a scary topic, really. So how realistically concerned should a person be about sepsis?
Well, if you practice good health, have normal basal body temperature, and are proactive with your health, you don't really need to be concerned about it at all. If you're maintaining a highly functioning digestive and immune system, then your body will do the things that it's supposed to do. And certainly if you have an accident, you want to make sure that you do the proper cleaning and the proper evaluating of whatever cut or broken skin it is that you have. And just take care of yourself.
Now, would you agree that sepsis is one of those times that antibiotic use is necessary?
Antibiotic use is necessary, absolutely, because at that point, the infection has gotten out of hand. And so what we need to really consider is what do we need to do to knock it down so that the immune system can catch up and handle it the way that it should handle it.
But then I know that one of the dangerous side effects of severe antibiotic treatment is something called C. diff, where your digestive tract really starts to shut down.
Yeah, and it's, you get this interesting phenomenon called C. diff, and what happens is it's a byproduct of the antibiotic use and the increased amounts of sugar in the diet and the completely refined and processed foods, and it's an imbalance that people shouldn't be getting, but because of the way that we do our food industry and because of the way we do our healthcare industry, it's become a very, very common situation across the country.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you treat infection in your practice?
I do not treat infections directly. I support the body to function in a normal, healthy fashion, and the imbalances or infections go away on their own, because a body that functions properly has all the ingredients and all the systems set up to do what it's supposed to do. And if you support those systems, then infections go away on their own.
So if somebody comes to you that has an infection that needs to be treated with antibiotics, how exactly do you help?
Well, I treat the imbalance. I support them with proper nutritional supplements that support the immune system's normal response to infection, and the body does the rest. We make sure that they're doing probiotics and to replace the bacteria that's been eliminated by the antibiotic. And, I work with medical practitioners to help support our mutual patients in the highest way possible. And, I have medical doctors that refer to me, and it just becomes a question of what's in the best interest of the individual.
So I want to just pick up on a point. You said that you have to restore the bacteria. So antibiotics basically eliminates all the bacteria, but there are bacteria that are necessary for your health. So there's different kinds of bacteria. Not all bacteria is a bad thing, although we see more and more. Let's say it eliminates 99.9% of bacteria.
The 99.9% of the germs, there is that 0.1% that's really, really stubborn, evidently. They can't claim 100%.
Right.
Because if then there's a problem, then they open themselves up to a lawsuit. And so there's a lot of rhetoric that goes on with marketing, et cetera. But at the end of the day, understanding how to strengthen a person's body and restore balance, if a person is that immune suppressed that they're going to develop a full-blown infection, that they're going to need some medical intervention, then that should be your first indication that there's a problem that needs to be fully addressed, not just addressed for the symptoms that are associated with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're helping somebody recover from a treatment of an infection where they've had antibiotics, does that recovery process change over time?
Depending on how long and the person's had a problem, how low functioning a person is when they initially come in to see me, yes, every person is a little bit different.
And that actual process, is that something that happens quickly, or is that also something that takes a period of time?
Well, it definitely takes a period of time. If done properly, it takes 9 to 12 months or longer, and every situation is unique, and the person needs to understand that just because they're symptom-free doesn't mean that they're healthy. It just simply means that they're functioning somewhere above the 40% threshold that a person needs to cross in order to have symptoms. So if we push you from 39% up to 41%, you don't have any symptoms anymore, but you're certainly not where you would like to be as far as function and health goes.
Mm-hmm. So how then do you define health?
Health is a state of optimum physical, mental, and social well-being. I also throw in there spiritual well-being, and not merely the absence of disease, sickness, infirmity, or symptoms. And so it's about how your body's functioning and as close to 100% function as possible for that particular person. And, there are changes that take place in a person as they get older and their body starts deteriorating, and you're never going to get that person to 100%, but you can get them to as close to 100% for them based upon what their history is and how their body's currently functioning.
And so, really, your approach to health is much gentler and more gradual because the approach is to move towards balance.
I guess you could say that, and some of my patients get well and return to balance very quickly after one or two treatments. But to treat someone with an active symptom to restore health, true health, that's going to take time, and it's going to require some changes in what the person does and what they do to support themselves.
And just to sort of conclude on the subject of sepsis, is it your opinion that it's possible if you have a strong enough immune system that you really are not likely to get sepsis?
Oh, absolutely. Strong immunity and strong digestion mean all as well. And if you eat well, of course, none of these things will happen. And so a person who develops a sepsis infection, they have a unique situation with their immune system, and it's not working properly. And, I guess in essence, they could the sepsis is going to be a blessing in disguise, assuming that they survive it, because now they understand where their immune system function is, and now they have to go through what they have to go through in order to restore it.
So it brings us back to the proactive approach to health, really, which is that if you take care of your health first, before you get sick, if you build up your immune system before you ever get an infection, you're actually much better off than treating something when you've got a disease or something as serious as sepsis.
Absolutely. And that's going to have to come out of your own pocket because health insurance won't pay for that. And so that's something that the consumer needs to be aware of.
Yeah. Well, this has been a very educational show, Dr. Rick. I appreciate you taking the time to answer these questions. I know this is not a topic that is typical of what we talk about on your show, but it seemed to me that with all the news about sepsis, that it was an important important topic to get your approach on how you would deal with it and how you perceive it.
Absolutely. So I want to thank the listener for tuning in this week. I ask you to tune back in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.